Now, here's a question for you. How much have you spent on your teeth over the years? Is it in the thousands, maybe even tens of thousands if you've been especially unlucky? In Australia, 3 in 10 people have avoided visiting a dentist due to cost, and so increasingly Australians are travelling overseas to get their pearly whites looked after instead of going to a dentist here. But are the risks worth paying less? With us in the studio now is Dr. Alex Holden. He's a dentist and dental ethicist at Sydney University, and he's here to help us weigh up the risks and benefits. Alex, thanks so much for chatting to us this morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So for a bit of background, I do have to ask, dental ethicist, what's the deal with that? How do you become a dental ethicist?
Well, what happens is you decide that you want to look at something beyond just people with their mouths open.
Fair.
So I went and did further training and study after my initial dental degree, and I think it adds a new dimension to my practice.
It's a very cool job title.
Oh, thank you.
So dental tourism, going overseas to get your teeth checked, it's on the increase. Do we know why that is?
Well, I think it's probably down to a number of factors, but perhaps it's mainly down to the fact that we're becoming more mobile as a global society. You know, people are going on holiday overseas more, and it's probably a phenomenon that's not been, that long in being established. So I think people are just becoming aware of what the opportunities are, and also service providers are becoming aware of what the opportunities there are and offering the Australian public opportunities to have treatment overseas.
And what are some of the most common procedures to get done overseas?
Well, I think people are having more or less everything done. But obviously, cosmetic procedures are very common, and also procedures involving dental implants are quite common as well. So it's really whatever people want seems to be on offer somewhere for people to go and take advantage of.
Okay, because I guess I thought it might have only been sort of the really major works that would have cost, significantly more in Australia, but it's just everything.
Well, I think the problem with this is we don't actually have a huge amount of evidence of what people are having done. All that we know is from sort of anecdotal reports from dentists, from people contacting, writing their stories in consumer organisation publications. We know that people are having a wide range of services.
And how is overseas dental care marketed? Because I see a lot about, tack it onto your holiday, organise a holiday, go to the dentist one day. Is that the main form of marketing?
It seems to be. It seems that the area of our population being targeted are potentially those that don't have health insurance, so they'd be paying fully out of pocket. And it is very much, as you say, stapled on to this sort of luxury purchase of come and have a holiday and have your dental work done at the same time.
And what if somebody has gone overseas to get some dental work done? What are some of the risks? I mean, not to turn around and say what is the worst possible outcome, but what are some of the risks of headed overseas?
Look, I'm not going to say that dental tourism or treatment abroad is inherently a bad thing. I think for some people it's the right choice for them. I think like anything, it's about having the right information to make the right choice for you. And some people, will find inevitably that they'll go overseas for dental treatment and there'll be problems with communication. Not necessarily a language barrier, but perhaps they're not given the right amount of time to think about it. I mean, if you're only on holiday for a few days in an exotic location, do you have the right amount of cooling off period to really think about whether you want to have that treatment done? So I think it's things like that that people need to think about rather than inherently the treatment might be of poor quality or issues like that. Again, we don't really know other than, reports from either consumers or dentists saying treatment's either good quality or bad quality. We don't actually have any systematic evidence to suggest if there's any problems with dental tourism.
And so if somebody is considering going overseas as part of getting some dental work done, I suppose other than the cooling off periods, is there anything that people should be thinking about?
I think it's what do you want to have done and why do you want to have it done? And is there a benefit to having it done overseas? You know, for, you know, Australia is a huge melting pot of different cultures, different societies, different languages. And if somebody wants to go back to their home country, for example, to have dental treatment done, that's obviously a very different scenario to somebody who is, you know, foreign to that country coming over and have dental treatment. So it's about really thinking about whether or not you're putting yourself at risk of disappointment. You know, are you rushing through? Are you giving whoever might be doing the treatment for you enough time to sort out mistakes if accidents happen? And no matter how good or talented a dentist might be, and this is regardless of location, things happen that we don't expect. And you know, that the hallmark of a good dentist is being able to put those things right. So, you know, are you putting somebody at the best chances of helping you?
Well, Alex, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for coming in this morning. Well,
thanks for having me.
That was Dr. Alex Holden. He's a dentally qualified ethicist at Sydney University, here chatting with us this morning about dental tourism and some of the things you should think about before you decide to head on overseas for some dental work.